I was told that this speaker would work now. Is this working now? I was told that it would work, and if I turned the button on after the singing was done, that would be better, so that you didn't have to listen to my singing. So Katie and I are in France. We've been in Grenoble, as you know. We've been serving alongside of some of the greats that you know very well, like Brad Dixon, Barbara Congo, who have been serving there faithfully for quite a number of years. This is our little family. We've got a little guy now. He's 1 year old. He came with me. Sadly, my wife couldn't join us today as she is very unwell this morning. It sprung up on her spontaneously. So this is us. We've been in Grenoble. And can you just flick through on my command? So we've been at the Foyer Evangelique Universitaire. Now, there are three main ministries on the campus of Grenoble, and on the campus of Grenoble, we need to visualize the size of it. University of Alberta is about 36,000 people. University of Grenoble is 60,000 people. Three ministries. The University of Alberta would have 20 or more with 100 or more students, each of them. And so there's a need for this in France. This is where we've been. There are one of 5 full outreaches in the country, one of 2 with a location in all of France. The other one is in the north of France. It's just started. They just bought a house in this last year, and they've moved into that. And so we see the kingdom growing slowly. It's nice to see. So what is it about? It's about ministering to students who already believe, as well as sharing the gospel to students who've never heard the gospel. If we flick through, this here is a student who 2 years ago accepted Christ. He's a fun student, and the first time I met him, he was very, very standoffish about the gospel. He was very, very proud of himself. He was an athlete, and he was very purposeful about being uncomfortable, making us feel uncomfortable about being in his presence. This is Lee. His heart has changed. He received Christ, and now Lee is who is a drama student, has been sharing with us with the drama, and he's an enlightenment to all the students at the FA, an example of how we've seen change. And if we keep flicking through, we'll see this girl here, Julie. She's a stagiaire, which means she's been doing her practicum with us. She's been studying at the Geneva Bible Institute in Geneva, and she spent the last year with us. She became Aunt Julie to Jude very quickly. She was our hands and feet. She would do anything. She was someone who had an opportunity to walk through some Bible studies with several different students. One of them she got to see receive Christ. Very encouraged to have Julie with us. And if we keep flicking through again, we'll see Leonard, who is at the back, the blonde-haired fellow, German university student, studying in Grenoble. Leonard, he said to me just before he left, he'd received Christ at the FA with us. He said, "You know, Rich, I'd met him on the bike path, we'd been cycling together, and he said, I'm returning home tomorrow. I'm returning home to a family who doesn't know God, to friends that don't know God, and to a community that don't know God. Pray for me as I go into this community." And so we need to pray for guys like Leonard. There's a lot of students that come from different parts of the world, especially different parts of Europe, that end up in Grenoble doing international studies, return home having known something about God. And so we need to pray for some of these students. If we keep flicking through, we'll see what's next for us. Well, this is what we're up to. The idea is that we go back to France. We're looking for a long-term visa. We've understood so far that it's kind of a long-term, waiting for a long-term visa. It's been 4 months now that we've been in Edmonton. We've been anticipating going back about February-ish, but that we've noticed that's been pushed back, and so we don't know how long we'll be here. We might be here through the summer. We leave that to God. We've seen God's hand in keeping us here. One of the things that needs to get figured out back in France is what our role will be when we return. There are some questions there, and We're looking forward to seeing how they get answered. So while we're here, we're visiting. We're touring around to different churches and camps and schools, sharing with you, with the people of Canada and Alberta, what we've been doing. And if we keep flicking through again, I'd like to share with you, I usually say we because Katie and I are sharing this together, but I'd like to share with you how we've been encouraged by people like you. We've shared with you guys twice already and have been very encouraged by your guys' prayers. This here is an example of how prayer has been fulfilled, how we've seen it fulfilled. This year, Lisa, almost a year ago now, Lisa was cycling with us. Well, we were just on the way down from an alpine, not ski resort, but camp resort, where we had been spending some time with the university students. And on the return, she was riding her bicycle. She fell off the back of her bicycle on a steep alpine descent, cracked her head on the concrete. Some of you heard the story, perhaps. And Lisa was in convulsions on the road. Ambulance attendants came, doctors looked at her, and they thought, we don't know what's going to happen with Lisa. And we didn't know either. And for 2 weeks, she was in a coma. She came out of a coma. She spent the next 6 weeks in intensive physio care. And now here we have Lisa again. This is a photo of her back at the foot. Her hair is much shorter as she had brain surgery. And she's mostly Lisa again. There's a few quirks that she's missing out on that she's unsure that she'll get back, like her sense of smell. But we're certainly glad to have Lisa. And we've been incredibly encouraged by the prayer support that we've had over these last couple of years. Within 24 hours of Lisa's accident, people all over the world were praying for Lisa. We've seen lives change. Here are some clowns that hang out at the foot, and we've seen each one of them who have already known Christ at the time that we've got to know them, but we've seen their lives change. The guy on the right is at the Geneva Bible Institute this year, for example. If we keep flicking through, we have our new believer slide. Although we can't really point them out here, there are two people in this photo that received Christ for the first time last year, and we're encouraged to see God working at the foot. Our next slide talks a little bit about financial support in the Church Universal. One thing we'd like to communicate to you guys is, and you know that you've helped us, is that even in financial terms and prayer support, what has been given to us so easily is transferred into the foot. There have been months where we received more than we need to have to live, and we were able to buy a new stove and couches and things practically that the foot was in desperate need of. And this is going to go on for a long time. If we're not back there next year, or if maybe we were never called back there, those couches will be there, that oven will be there that's used for cooking crepes every Sunday night. These things, practical things that are needed for this organization that you guys all helped with, that will be there for a long time. And so this idea of the universal church becomes obvious. We're all helping for this cause, and so we thank you for that. Our next slide, ways to get involved. Well, there are many ways, and in many ways you guys have been doing these things. You guys have been a sending community. You've been a praying community, and this is very much appreciated. One of the things we saw from our sending church, Southview, is we had a church retreat this past year, and they invited all their missionaries to it. We were in Canada, and so we had the opportunity to go. And so one of the purposes for the retreat was to hear about what's happening outside of the world so that they could have it in their brains how to be an influence on what's happening outside. We also, from that church, there was a small group that was praying for us, that was sending us little notes of encouragement. And it's interesting how God works, because I found that God would send a message into these people's thoughts, send a message over to the Splains because they need encouragement today. And it was incredible how often that happened, when we would get little notes to say, hey, we're praying for you, we're thinking of you guys today, we'll be praying for you tonight even. Very encouraging. Opportunities in France. Well, there are many opportunities in France, and so as you guys have been a prayerful church, keep praying for other people. And if you're of the mindset that you would like to travel a little bit, maybe you know French already, come and visit us. You'll get to see opportunities in France. What's our next slide tell us? Well, it's our contact information, and so this is the way to get a hold of us while we're in Edmonton. Don't hesitate. If you have questions, if you would like to have some more information on some things, we'd love to facilitate that. Thank you for allowing me to share those things with you. Now, I'd like to share with you something that I've been learning over this last couple years, and what's most crucial in the mission field. The Apostle Paul tells us about three gifts God gives us: faith, hope, and love. And he says the most important of these is love. If I could also add one thing, I would say maybe the most confusing is love. Before Christmas, we were listening to a radio station, and there are some radio stations that play Christmas songs for 2 or 3 weeks up until Christmas, and they're not my favorite of radio stations, but one day we caught ourselves listening to one of these radio stations, and one of the songs came on, and the line that sticks in my head is, Santa Claus loves us, loves everyone all the same. I thought, oh, interesting, that Santa Claus loves me. Now, my little guy Jude, he's one, and someone gave him a dog for Christmas, and this dog has different parts on his body. If you push those parts, the dog will say something. And the other day, I was playing with these components, and I pushed his heart, and the dog said, I love you. Okay, so Santa Claus loves me, the dog loves me. We have all these messages of love that come from the world. The other day, I was on YouTube, and some of you are familiar with YouTube. And one of the things that I clicked on was the top 20 love songs of the world, or in the English world. And a lot of them had to do with falling in love, or this idea of a first time viewing of someone falling in love with them. This bus stop romance, if you will. One of the songs wasn't on the top 20, but maybe some of you will remember it. It's by The Doors. And the line is, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? And some of you can remember this song. The idea here about a guy seeing this person and falling in love, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? What a ludicrous idea, isn't it? I love someone, but I don't know who you are, not even your name. And so there are a lot of different ideas on love. Something the marriage counselors will tell us, that within the first 4 to 7 years of a newlyweds' lives together, they will have couples come into them and they'll say, we don't feel in love anymore. This idea of feeling in love, another idea of what the secular world proposes to us about what love is. We don't feel in love. And so, what is love really is a question we need to ask. What is love really? The secular world is looking inside themselves for a feeling. I look at someone and I see, oh, I feel in love. Instantaneously, I've got this feeling. There's some churning that maybe goes on in my stomach, and it could have been something I've eaten that morning that's causing it. But for some reason, we have this idea. And so I think that when we look inside ourselves for a feeling of love, we have confusion. It's a relative feeling, isn't it? Each one of us has this different feeling, if we call it a feeling, and it's confusing. And so as the church, for us to understand what love is, I think we need to look at who God is and what is he like. One of the ways we can do that is by looking at the word love. The word love in Hebrew is the word hesed. Now this word here, if we were to define it in English, because our word love doesn't capture all of the ideas that hesed does, if we define it, we look at kindness, loving kindness, a desire to make a covenant, loyalty. It's a deep, deep, deep love that resides in the very character of who God is. It's in fact the essence of who God is. In fact, if we were to say, well, it's one of his expressions or one of his attributes, or it's something that God does, well, this isn't accurate enough. Hesed love is the essence of who God is. This is who God is. Some of the verses that help define this we'll find in the Old Testament as well. Exodus 34, if you have your Bibles, come turn with this. Turn to this with me. Exodus 34, verses 6. We'll just read verse 6. The Lord, the compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This idea of abounding in love. Compassionate, gracious God. Exodus 15 and 13 is another one that we'll see. This is a song of Moses and Miriam. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. So now we have an unfailing love is presented here. If we flip over to the Psalms, Psalms 103 and verse 17, a Psalm of David. He says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. From before you can imagine to after you can imagine, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Jude has a little storybook, and one of the storybook pages had this line in it here from Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. So these aren't expressions of how God, or these aren't attributes of God. This is God himself. John, he tells us something. He says, God is love. 1 John 4, 8 and verse 16 as well say, God is love. And when we hear this line, God is love, immediately we think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three living together from everlasting to everlasting. We have a Trinity. We have these three for one, one for one and three. A community of love living together from everlasting to everlasting. They're united together. One author said, we have an eternal social relationship. God knows how to love God. The Father knows how to love the Father. And an interesting study, if you guys wanted to do a study on love, we could take a concordance and we could look through all the passages on love and we could categorize them. The Father's love for us, the Son's love for us, or the Father's love for the Son, or the Son's love for the Father, all these different aspects on what love looks like to us. And so we ask ourselves, can I have God without Jesus? I had a student that I was doing a discovery study with this past year, and she had grown up in a Jewish setting, and so she studied at a Jewish school on Sunday mornings, and she had a extreme reservation about accepting Jesus. She could understand God, and I walked her through God's love for us, but it stopped at Jesus because of this teaching that she had. And I think that to answer this question, can I have God without Jesus? We can have a response to this if we look in Romans. Romans 5, 6 and 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his own love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, this is how God demonstrates his love. This is how God demonstrated his love, is by sending his son, Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate demonstration of love, isn't it? He allowed himself to be separated from his son. A verse that helps us understand this is Philippians 2 and verse 6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I had a professor at the university at Taylor who described it to me like this. He said, Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, the sense of being grasped. And he said, picture a chin-up bar and him holding himself on the chin-up bar, and he said he didn't sense that he needed to be with God, so he let go of this chin-up bar to come down to earth. He let go of this position with God to come to earth. Helped me understand it. Well, what does this tell us, this demonstration of God's love to us? Well, I think another verse in Romans will help us. Romans 8. You guys know it well, perhaps. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us? These are big things. We've watched a tragedy recently in Haiti. Some of those things come out there. Trouble, hardship, there's been persecution, there's been famine, there's been nakedness, there's been danger. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Or from the love of Christ? This is a very strong love. Nothing can separate us from that love. A verse that we're very familiar with is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a response to that verse in 1 John. And in 1 John 3 and 4, John talks a lot about love. So 1 John 3 and 16 this time. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's what we know what love is. And so, what did Jesus do in laying down his life for us? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What do we learn from this? Well, I think we learn he sacrificed, he gave, he obeyed, he behaved, he did, he cared for, he acted out this love for us. So it's understanding this love God has for us, we need to ask ourselves, what does this mean for us? How do we share this love? Well, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There at one point, we read in Matthew 22, there's some Pharisees and some Sadducees got together, and one of them was an expert of the law. And he thought he would trick Jesus, and he said, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what does it mean to love God in this sense? Understanding this idea of love, this hesse love, what does it mean to love God? It's not an emotion anymore, is it? It's not this warm, fuzzy feeling I see when I... or I have when I see someone at the bus stop. Well, I think it's telling us to love God as God loves. Now, so if we were to love God as God loves, I guess that means loving the things that God loves. God loves people, doesn't he? And so we're called to love people, and that's the second commandment, to love people, to love your neighbor. Romans 13 and 10 says, love does not harm its neighbor. Love does no harm to its neighbor. And so again, it's not this floaty, fluttery feeling. I've got neighbors that I don't like. And it's not easy for me to think about having this warm, fluttery feeling for the neighbor that I'm not naturally drawn to. But if I look at love differently, if I look at love as God loves us, I have a different response. It's a sacrificing kind of love. It's a giving kind of love. It's a behaving kind of love. It's an obeying kind of love. And acting out a caring kind of love. God also tells us, he says, love your enemies. And of course, when we first say that, we say, I don't like my enemies. Which is a natural response. When we look at the secular version of love, we think, well, there's no way I'm going to have this, again, this warm, fluttery feeling for my enemies. But maybe I can have the kind of love that God's calling us to, the kind of love that God has for us. There's a passage that you guys know as well, and especially the men. Ephesians 5 and 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, I can't imagine Paul, when he's considering this passage, saying, well, I need men to love their bodies like this warm, fluttery feeling that we've been talking about. Like this morning when I got up, I didn't strip down and look in the mirror and say, how you doing? You know? I don't think that's the love that Paul's talking about. I think the love that Paul's talking about is the same kind of love. This behaving to my body. There are certain things that my body needs. So this morning I got up, I did my exercises, I ate my breakfast. There are things that I need to protect my body. When I do construction, I put on earmuffs so that the saw noise doesn't deteriorate my ears. I wear safety glasses. I wear knee pads because I had a knee injury skiing once, and so I need to take care of my knee, and I need to do knee exercises so that my knee stays strong, and if I don't, it'll fall apart. And so this looking after my body, loving my body, and if I have that kind of love for my wife, it's different than having this warm, fluttery feeling all the time for my wife. It's this idea of carrying this love out. It's a caring love. It's a doing love that Paul was talking about here. And that works in our lives. When we think about our neighbors, when we think about the people that we consider our enemies, when we carry out that love, we have a different response. One that we can do it, the other that it works. Now, when we think about love, sometimes we feel empty, I think. I do. There are times when I don't feel like doing anything, and so if I look to feeling inside of me, I have no response, because I don't feel like doing anything. Now, I guess it's a little bit like a river, or a creek in this sense. Where I grew up in Boyle, Alberta, we had a creek that ran through the yard. And before I was born, they dammed that creek off. And so that all year long they would have water there. And from the time that I can remember, essentially every spring, that dam would overflow. They had a spillway there, and that dam would overflow. And if we, well, I guess we need to look at the source. Our source is springtime in this sense, isn't it? That's when we get all the snow that comes, it melts, and it runs into the dam, and the dam overflows. And we want to be overflowing with our love. Now, in the summertime, and some of us feel like summertime right now, perhaps, where we can't communicate our love, or we reach inside and we don't see love there. We need to look at where our source is. And if our source is dried up, then we need to look back in our Bibles, I think. If we look in our Bibles and understand who God is, well, I think we have energy to fill into people again. Our spillways overflow, if you understand my analogy. I consider this as a challenge to me as much as a challenge to you guys, because it's natural for us to want what's best for us at all times. Naturally, we want to have what our selfish desires want. But I guess, again, if we look at God's love, are we doing okay here, ladies? Are we okay? Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure we're okay. So the love that we have for our neighbors, for the love that we have for our enemies, it comes from God and our understanding of who God is and what He's like. That's where our love comes from. That allows our water to spill over. I'd like to pray with you, and then we'll be wrapped up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. Lord, your love is rich. And Father, by understanding who you are, I guess it gives us insight on not only how to love you, but to love our neighbors, to love the people that we don't like in a different way, in a way that's giving, as you gave to us. You demonstrated your love by giving us your Son, separating yourself from this everlasting, this eternal relationship that you had. I thank you for that example, because it teaches us what loving looks like in our communities. And so, Lord, we ask this week that you would stir up within us a desire to study love in your Bible, that we would be able to communicate love freely as you do, that we would be love as you are love. It would become the essence of who we are. Lord, it's in your name we come. Amen.